Hallelujah. I just want to minister God's word to you today from what the Lord told me this morning. He said, for many of you here, he said, it's time to go pro. It's time to go pro. So I want to minister to you today about going pro. God opens up worlds. And when he opens up a particular world to you, that's when you become a steward of that world. There's a world, for instance, even on this front row here, there's a world of general practice medicine. There is a world of business. There is a world of accountancy. There is a world of training. There's a world of personal training and fitness, etc. There's a world of nutrition. There's all sorts of worlds. And I pray that the right worlds will open up their doors to you in Jesus' name. And the Bible says that he opens doors that no man can shut. And he shuts doors that no man can open. And the great thing about trusting God, the great thing about believing God, is that he knows which worlds to open to you. Let me give you an example. When I first gave my life to Christ, I was an amateur at everything. I had two O-levels, art and French. And I had a GCSE in physics. And that was it. So I was a glorious amateur. I didn't know what I was doing in life. I didn't know anything at all. In fact, the first real job that I got, I worked with my cousin for a while making cupboards and stuff like that. That was a bit amateurish. And then the second thing, I worked in a drop-in center with travelers, the traveling community. That's a whole different world right there. I mean, they have like this very unique culture, very well-preserved, very strong culture. And so that was a different world. But again, I was an amateur at that. I was just like, you know, playing pool with them and doing up this drop-in center and all that kind of stuff. But really, the first thing that I entered as an amateur and became vaguely professional at was in a hospital. I started work in a hospital, a private hospital in Ireland. And, you know, you just start. Let me encourage you guys. Some of you, start at the beginning. Right? It doesn't matter if you start as a cleaner. It's where you end up. I heard the story of, what do you call him? Praise God. I heard the story of, what's his name? Roy Hodgson, who's the now manager of Crystal Palace. I don't know how long he's going to last. I mean, 5 games without a win, you know. But he started, as a boy, he was a Crystal Palace fan. And he started on the terraces of Crystal Palace as a fan, looking up to all these great players. So it doesn't matter where you start, it's where you end up. Right. And when the Lord said this morning, he said, it's time to go pro. He said, tell them it's time to go pro. There's an anointing to go pro. That wherever you're at right now, there's an anointing for the next level. I didn't know I was as clever as I was because everyone had told me, including all my teachers, that I was stupid. I didn't know how far I'd go because every single person in my life told me I'd get nowhere. So I couldn't look to any of the natural resources to tell me where I'd go or where I'd end up. I had to look at the Word of God that says, before I formed you, I knew you, and I ordained you that you'd touch and reach many nations. You know, I read my Bible and it says, I'm the head and not the tail. I thought, the head of what? Fresh air. Well, at least I rule the ground I stand on. I thought, you know what? That's a start. Praise God. I remember one very clear word. I used to sit in my bed and I lived in a bedsit in Ireland, in the west of Ireland, the windy west. And I'd sit there on the edge of my bed praising God. And I had this scripture. You know, they used to do the Bible on posters back then. And I had this scripture, this one that it says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers into the harvest field. So I used to pray for that. And then God said, you're the laborer. And I thought, dude, I don't even have the bus fare out of town. Where am I going to reach nations from? And then there's another one, ask of me and I'll give you nations, etc. And all these kind of things. And I remember one particular word God gave me. I was sitting there. On my bed, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. I think it's Isaiah 58, somewhere around there. If you delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall cause your feet to tread, or it says ride, upon the high places of the earth. And I thought, wow, what a joy, what a privilege of serving God. What a privilege to be a man of God. And I thought, gosh, Jesus, if that's your will, do it. And then, you know, reality suddenly hits you. It's like, dunk, you know. And I checked in my pockets and I had 26 pence. And I thought, wow, that'll change the world. You know what I mean? So suddenly reality can bam you straight back. But you know what? When God says go pro, go pro. Start at the beginning. Because it's not where you start, it's where you end up. And this is the thing, you see, God puts his word, he injects his word into you so that you know it's only the word of God that took you to where you end up. May you end up at a pro level in Jesus' mighty name. So anyway, I'm working in this private hospital, right? And I'm working as a porter there. I was on doing night shifts and everything like that. And I used to pray to the Lord at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, Father, please don't let anyone die in this hospital. I don't want to be handling dead bodies. I mean, they scare me. My friend Johnny Burns, when he told me when I told him that I'd got this job in a hospital, right? He said, oh, he says, I was a hospital porter once. He said, never again. He said, I was working late shift. He was guarding the mortuary at this hospital. Can you imagine? And there was this body, you know, they had to wrap up the bodies. And he said, there was this body. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm scared already, you know. He says, there's this body like lying wrapped in sheets and everything like that. And he said, obviously, there was still wind in their stomach or whatever. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, I heard this knocking. And the next thing I heard, and this body sat up. And he said, I ran, and that was the end. He said, I didn't even give him my notice. I never went back there. And I thought, right, great, thanks, Johnny. So I'd be praying 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus, please, don't let anyone die. I don't want to touch anybody, right? So then a couple of weeks later, I'm in this just doing my job and everything like that. And the next thing, the pager goes off, so I ring the number for the theater. They said, oh, we've got some material you have to dispose of. So we had an incinerator. So I thought, all right, well, it's probably surgical rubbish or whatever. I'll go bring it down to the incinerator. It was a leg. Can you imagine? So they'd wrapped up this leg in sheets and in a bag, and I'm walking down and I have to get rid of this leg. I thought, Jesus, please, Lord, take me out of here. Now, you imagine the contrast. This is what I'm saying to you this for. You imagine the contrast and the conflict between what God is telling me in my prayer time and what is happening in reality. I mean, reality could have bitten hard, mate. But somehow, you see, he puts the ability on the inside of you. He puts this substance called hope, which enables you to see the future. That's what hope is all about. The Bible says hope that's seen is not hope. So you have to see with more than your natural eyes. You have to allow the word of God to shape a picture on the inside of you that becomes that hope. And that becomes then the blueprint. If you add your words to your hope, then at some stage or other, it will become faith. And that faith will manifest, and that faith will bring about the thing in the natural. And that's the path, if you like, to greatness. But when God said go pro this morning, I knew that there's something that we have to get. We not only have to get the injection of God's word into our lives, but there's also a lot of stuff we have to get out. You see, if you're going to become a pro, you have to become intolerant of amateurism. You have to. You have to. You can't tolerate being an amateur anymore. Which means that, you know, one of the things that I am incredibly tough on myself when it comes to just getting things wrong or doing things wrong or missing it. I'm really tough. My wife will tell you, you know, and it's like certain things have just grown on me over the years. You know, for instance, like my keys will always be in my front right pocket. My wallet will always be in my front left. My phone will always be in my back left. My checkbook and bag, you know, because they charge this sexist government charges 5p a bag now. You see, for women, it's all right. Because women have got bags already, but men, we have to carry bags. So you forget and they charge you 5p. sexism. So now I've got my bag and my checkbook in my back right pocket. Hallelujah. And that's always the way, right? Like I'm too tight to pay 5p. I'm too tight. Forget it. 5p goes to charity. Charity what? Please. So there's the point I'm making is I apply pressure on myself to become good at everything I do. Because, and I've noticed something about it, there's worlds, you see, there's worlds that open up. When you've professionalized your life, there's worlds that open up. It's almost like God says, right, well done in this area, well done in this world. You can be punctual. You know how many people struggle to be punctual? Getting up out of bed for your job in the morning. One of my friends, I had to sack my own friend. We were out one night, the night before, we were out in the West End in Chelsea in a jazz club. The two of us together. He lived in Tottenham, I lived in Tottenham. And it was the saddest thing I had to do. I mean, we were good pals. And he got to work at 9:45 and I got to work at 8:55. And the trouble is, he'd been late 5 times before. This was his final warning. I had to sack him because I was his boss. Saddest thing I ever had to do. And it's amazing. You know, you can be degree and PhD qualified and still lack punctuality. May God give you a punctual pass in Jesus' mighty name. So then God will say, right, okay, you've done the punctuality one. Okay, let's open up the world of self-awareness. Do you know how many people aren't even self-aware? Don't know how they come across? And one thing they taught me in Lloyds Bank, because I really thought I was great when I was still an amateur, when I was working for the bank, and they said, you know what? They said, perception is reality. How a person perceives you is how you really are. Because it's not what you think that matters, it's what they think that matters. And I thought, wow, well, that's a whole new world. So I had to open up myself and become self-aware. So I had to look at things like my nails and my teeth and my breath and how I dressed and sort of had to try and upgrade in there because I was an amateur. My first suit, oh, Lord Jesus, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but my first suit when I went to work for a bank was a grey, almost flannel. It was so cheap and so nasty. Do you remember CNA? Do you remember CNA? I had a CNA suit. Cost me £22. And I didn't even know that you should wear a belt with your trousers. So I went in with no belt and they said, wow, okay, right, okay, this is the raw material. Well, let's start here. But I was punctual. Do you see the point I'm making? And that world then opened up, the world of self-awareness, how you're coming across. Then I started to realize about gaining people's confidence. If you're going to get anywhere in life, if you're going to get anywhere in business, if you're going to get anywhere in ministry, if you're going to get anywhere really in any sphere of life, you've got to learn how to gain people's confidence. So I had to watch what I said, when I said it. And then I realized that God was using me as a mouthpiece. So then I forgot that bit and I thought, you know what, Lord, speak through me. Even if my wife's toes shrivel sometimes when I'm in company and I say, because like sometimes I just kind of slip stuff what I was feeling out and she would cringe and like dive under the table. But I think I'm even better at that now. She does that for the benefit of those listening by a podcast. She does not think so. So I had to progress, and then I realized there's like carrying in business. If you're going to borrow money, because we borrowed a lot of money to buy this place, for instance, we borrowed 968 grand to buy this place. So I realized that for a couple of years beforehand, I had to hold my bank manager's hand. I had to gain the confidence of the bank manager, so that when it came to actually signing the mortgage on this place, that we'd be believable. Because if you're not believable, then like that's what credit stands for. Credit comes from the Latin word credo, which means I believe. So and that's why your credit score, you see, this is very important, particularly for next year, for our year of Jubilee. We're going to go into all this. But your credit score is determined by what you've done in the past. Have you been believable in the past? If not, it's a struggle for the future. Do you see what I mean? So your credit, you can work on your credit rating by working on your personal self, becoming believable. So if there's a meeting at 9, you show up at 5:02, not at 20 past. You see what I mean? There's certain things you don't ever play with. Relationships is number one, time is number two, and money is number three. You've got to do all these things deliberately. How do I know it? God opened these worlds to me. This isn't something I read in a book. This is something I had to walk out. Now, you follow the life track of my example. I don't believe there's another person in Great Britain today who's done what I've done by the grace of God. I don't believe there's a single one. You show me a guy from Tottenham with two O-levels who has built effectively a £1 million charity that's touching the world, that's raising up millionaires, entrepreneurs, can-do people. Show me another one. I don't know of another one, but it's to God's glory that we're doing this thing. We're not messing around. By God's grace, every single one of you will go pro in the field that God opens. And this is how he does it, you see. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little, tick, punctual. If all I could be back then was punctual, I was punctual. If all I could have was good hygiene, then I had good hygiene. I mean, I had a room that was like no bigger than probably this area here, but it was spotless. And it was mine. It was my territory. What was I doing? I was making my bed every day. You see that thing on YouTube about from the military guy about making your bed? How many of you don't make your bed every day? Benj, put up your hand. No, I'm kidding. You see, there's certain things that you can do. There's certain boxes that you can tick no matter where you start. I remember at the Grange, at ABI, I remember when you had Martin Luther King's son. So Martin Luther King III was down at the ABI building, and he preached a message that his father preached called Become the Best You Can. What a great message. And he was talking, you know, he said, if you're a janitor, be the best janitor on the planet. If you're a bin man, he said, make sure there's no litter after you. You know, some bin men is like, tip the stuff out and half it goes on the road and they just leave the thing there. You can tell that there's not a culture of excellence in the person of that life, the life of that person. And he was saying, be the best, become the best. True story, we were in South Africa just last week and we were staying at this hotel in Pretoria. And we noticed coming back into the drive of this hotel, it was only a 3-star hotel, coming back into the drive of this hotel, the gardens were spotless, immaculate, the most beautiful smell you could ever come across. And one morning, in fact, the last morning we were there, I saw the gardener out the front and he was just, you know, watering away, whistling, everything like that. I went out to speak to him. I said, sir, I stayed in a lot of hotels. I said, this is the first one where I've noticed how beautiful the gardens are, because it was a 3-star hotel. He was making it look like a 5.5-star just by virtue of his diligence. I said, the word of God says, do you see a man diligent in his work? I tell you the truth, he shall stand before kings. And I took out some seed. Somebody had given me some African rand. So I took some rand out of my pocket and I gave it to him. And I said, God bless you. I said, keep up the great work. What's that? That's a stepping stone on the way to success. You see, I've learned as well. This is a great secret, my brother and sister, for sowing into your future. Sow into excellence. Where you see excellence at work, sow into it. There's something about excellence that attracts the presence of God. And there's too many, there's too much. In ministry, there's too much amateurishness. We have to go for excellence. That means excellence in our presentation, excellence in our speech, excellence in the word of God, excellence in whatever we do. It doesn't matter what, that we refuse to tolerate amateurness. The Bible says in Psalm 8, verse 1, it says, oh Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. There's a few areas that God's yet to open up. You know, he opened up commercial property for us to get this building. Then he opened up things like lighting. Anyone know what a DMX is? No, because, right, Dave, because it's in the world of lighting. And that's the box that controls everything that to do with lighting. Lighting has its own language of lumens and goodness knows what. It's a whole different world. Television is another world that God has opened up to us. It's just amazing. It's a whole different world. Video editing and all that kind of stuff. Sound is another world. You see, and what God does is that as you're on this journey, he opens up these new worlds. Now, let's suppose some of you become an expert in human resources, right? In the world of human resources, there'll be loads of sub-worlds. Boom, boom, boom. There'll be areas of just ability and skill that God suddenly opens up to you. For some reason, God has opened up the world of geopolitics. I prophesied to kings and leaders and presidents and all sorts of stuff like that. Didn't have a clue in the world when I first started. But God opened that world to me. May he open these worlds to you in Jesus' mighty name. I just want to share something about the power of God that God put on my heart this morning. And there's some scripture that I want us to look at. Romans chapter 15, particularly guys, those of you that are going to be involved in Each One Reach One, those of you that are involved in the ministry of the house here, look for and go for these things. Verse number 15 of Romans 15, I want to start there. Romans 15, 15. He says, but I have written very boldly to you on some points, so as to remind you of again, because of the grace that was given to me from God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles, isn't that amazing? You and I are Paul's offering of the Gentiles. Isn't that amazing? Would you like an offering of human beings to give to God? I don't mean you stick a knife in them and put them on an altar. I mean that you lead them to Jesus Christ. How many of you would like that privilege? Do you know it's the only thing you can take to heaven? You're born naked, you go to heaven without a body, but the only thing you can bring with you is human beings. And he says, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Next verse. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God, for I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished in me, through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, and this is what I wanted to get to, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, which is in Albania, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, he says there that he wants to make an offering of the Gentiles, right? So you and I are Paul's offering. And he says, how? He says, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit. Now, I'm ministering to that to you today. There's because some of you, God is going to make you pros in the area of the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going to make you professionals in the area of his anointing. He says, in the power of signs and wonders. In other words, this offering isn't complete. There's something missing in my life, and there's something missing in your life if you've never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. If you've never experienced signs and wonders, if you've never prayed for somebody, and this is what I want to do today, I want to open up to you this whole world of the power of God. Right? Because there's something that God wants to do in your life. In the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So without, you imagine, what would your ministry be like if there was no power from God backing it? It'd be useless. It'd be rubbish. You'd have a load of words. What would you have? Words. Every other religious organization, words. What's the difference? The power. There's something incomplete. If we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we're sharing the love of God, and the power of God is incomplete in terms of its manifestation for us, then our lives are worthless and our ministries are void. I was saying to Junior and Kamau as I stepped out, because one of the things I do when I go up on that platform on the Crusades, and by God's grace, we'll show you some of the video footage. When I stand up there, I declare what God is going to do before it happens. Now, can you imagine if I declared what God was going to do and then he didn't do it? How crazy, how stupid would I look in that situation? But you see, I know my father is back. He's the one who's shown me what he's going to do beforehand. So why wouldn't he do it? Bible says he's not a man that he should lie. So I looked out over the crowd the first night, and I saw that heaviness and hopelessness and worthlessness was going to come out of those people, and that new joy, new hope, new favor would come onto their lives. I saw him healing sick bodies and legs and stomachs and all sorts of stuff like that. So that's what I decreed. I decreed and I declare it. Why? Because that world, that supernatural world of the power of signs and wonders and the power of the Holy Spirit has been opened up to me. But I didn't start there. Do you see what I mean? I started being faithful. There's been some missions I've gone on, and I've ended up stacking chairs, just praying for people, just picking up litter, just making sure the mics have got batteries and all sorts of stuff like that. Why? Because it's not where you start. It's being faithful to get that tick box to get to the next level. And I know when God told me to tell you that it's time to go pro, that there's some of you here that God is going to start to open up new worlds. Not just thank God for business worlds, not thank God for the world of ideas, thank God for the world of entrepreneurship and everything like that. The testimony here in this house is very strong for that. But there's a whole new world. There's the supernatural world that God wants to open up. And sometimes, you know, he'll lead you through it. Sometimes he'll just push you straight through it. And you've got no choice except to stand and declare something. Whichever way God does, believe for it and expect for it. Can you say amen? Amen. Stand to your feet right now. I just want to pray for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord God, we declare today that your word is able to accomplish that which has provided in us. Lord God, we declare that you are able by your Holy Spirit to take us into these new worlds. We declare, Lord God, that it's time to go pro in business, Lord God, in academia, Father, in family, that we'd be good parents, Lord God, that you'd make us pro parents, Father. Thank you, Lord God, in cell ministry, that you'd make us great disciple makers, Lord God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the world of outreach, Lord God, we thank you for every one of those souls that was added to the church, Father, those who made Jesus Lord at the Crusades. Father, we thank you for that thing. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, we declare that we are ready, that you give us a new empty box, that one day you'll tick it because of our faithfulness, Heavenly Father. We are ready to go pro in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.